This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like Sweet Tarts Twisted Rainbow Ropes, Gummies Fruity Splits, and Chewy Fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine. Visit SweetTartsCandy.com to shop now.
I'm stand-up comedian and clothing enthusiast Kerry Pritchard-McLean, and this is the Who Are You Wearing podcast. Now, each episode I have a chinwag with a very stylish person and talk about their life through clothes. Episode 8 of Series 3 is with influencer and maker and vintage enthusiast Serena Sanderson, or you may know her as Serena on Instagram. Spelled S-E-W-R-E-N-A. Now, I think this is my first guest who dresses wholly in a period style, so it's absolutely fascinating. Her patterns and her clothing are authentic to the era, as well as her home and her kitchen. But it's really interesting, actually, over the course of this chat, to see where Serena draws the line, and in places where she has to draw the line, and particularly when it comes to makeup and hair as a black woman who would have not been accommodated in the era that she's so passionate about. This episode was recorded back in July of 2022. Serena was at home in America. We're so international. And I was at home in North Wales. Now, unlike lots of my previous guests, Serena is very shy. She's an introvert, which doesn't seem to fit sort of neatly into the category that we imagine when it comes to Instagram influencers, especially those that work in fashion. But Serena is as layered as her skirts. We have a big conversation here. Obviously, we touch on matters of race. We also talk about postpartum depression. So if there's anything in those subjects that you're not ready for at the moment, you might need to just give this a skip. You might want to come back to it another time. Serena is so thoughtful and has got this amazing sort of low-key, quiet, strident nature when it comes to style and fashion. I know you're going to love me asking her, who are you wearing?
I think I've always been into fashion to some extent. I wasn't always cognizant of it, but I remember probably first grade, so maybe 6 or 5 or something like that. And my mom, she didn't really give me a lot of options for dressing. She was just one of those moms who was just like, my kid's gonna always look the coolest or whatever's in style. And I remember feeling really good when she would have me in like matching sets. So like if I had like this jacket that perfectly matched the bottom, and I would always feel really good. And then my dad was really into shoes, so he'd make sure my sneakers were always the best. And so I just remember just beginning always feeling good in certain clothes, but I didn't start making those decisions until maybe like 2 years later. It was vintage when I did. I was like all about the 70s when I was 7 years old. 7 or 8 is when I wore like platforms and bell bottoms. So I've always been drawn to vintage style.
So you had a really strong sense of not only style, but what you wanted then as a child.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. Like, I only realized that the more I do podcasts and people ask me questions, it's like unlocking parts of my memory where I was just like, oh my gosh, I've always been into this.
Just, I love the idea of like 7 or 8 year old going like, you know, I want platforms and flares. It's amazing. But were you doing that? Was that dress up or was that like, no, I like that aesthetic. That's how I want to look.
That's how I went to school. That wasn't dress up. That was my thing.
Oh, amazing. Where do you even find stuff like that?
I think in the early 2000s, that was probably in style, but I just took it a bit further by just making it look more 70s aesthetic, how I saw it. And my hair was natural then. So I wore like big puffs and stuff like that. So it just worked. But that's how we couldn't afford much. My mom was a single mom. So there was no dress up clothes. Whatever I had is what I had. Mm. So that's what I chose.
You'll be one of those people that people you went to school with look at what you do now and go, yeah, of course, she was always going to do that. I know your mom was dressing you, but it sounds like very early you had a sense of your own style. Mm-hmm. So was it driven by you from a young age, or was it family members or bits of pop culture? Where were you, like, what was putting the whole look together?
I think my mom, at first, she was just into whatever's trendy, right? She liked to dress really nicely, and then she wanted to make sure that me and my sister dressed nice as well. And it felt really good to get compliments going out and people thinking we were so cool. And I thought she was cool too, because she liked to get dressed and look really nice. I liked to look nice because I was used to it. And then I guess my style, I just watched a lot of cartoons. So Scooby-Doo was it. And I thought they were so cool. And so it's just like, you know, I guess I blended wanting to look nice like my mom, and then just what I was interested in, which was, she had me watching a lot of like vintage cartoons or cartoons from her time period. So I watched a lot of like 70s era cartoons, and I kind of just developed my style from there. But I did lose it after elementary school when I started to become more self-aware. Mm-hmm. When you notice what's cool and what's not, I stopped dressing how I felt like I wanted to dress and just dressed like how all the other kids were. Cause like, that's the phase where I just wanted to be invisible. I didn't really want to stand out for looking weird, but in elementary school, nobody notices that, right? No one really has that self-awareness yet. So after I got to like middle and high school, I started dressing normal.
I think loads of people have that journey where you're almost like your truest self when you're a kid, and then as a teenager you're like, I just need to survive. Yeah. So I need to not stand out and you know, sort of assimilate with everyone around me. And then when you hit a certain age in it, you start to rebuild yourself as the person you want to be again. Mm-hmm. Were you ever put in an item of clothing that you just hated?
My mom, yeah. So a part of her making me very stylish, she used to dress me in boy clothes because I grew really quickly. And so I was always taller for my age. I'm not tall by any means now, but I grew really fast when I was younger. So in order to keep up, because she couldn't afford to like constantly buy me clothes, she would just buy me boys' clothes because they were always longer than girls' clothes. And so at the same time, while what she chose was very fashionable, I did not like the fit. I hated how like everything was so baggy and boxy because I've always been on a thin frame. So at the same time, I knew I looked good, but I didn't necessarily feel that way at the same time. I knew they were aesthetically pleasing clothes, but I hated wearing boy clothes. So it was.
And do you think, because I also, part of your look is it's very femme, like, in, you know, and do you think that's a reaction to that? You realizing young, you know, at that young age, like, oh, I actually like it when I'm in very feminine stuff?
Maybe. I never really thought about it. Probably. I couldn't wear a lot of frilly dresses and stuff like that, because like I said, I was growing extremely fast. I don't know how she kept up with it, because my daughter grows the way that I did. And luckily, I make her clothes so I can make sure that they fit her and are long enough. But my mom couldn't do that. So I probably wear dressed like this because I couldn't before.
Well, did you have, when you were growing up, a favorite item of clothing that you just never wanted to take off?
I'm not sure, because I grew so fast, I couldn't keep anything for very long.
God love you.
I can't think of anything. Like, everything was in and out of my wardrobe pretty quickly.
Maybe we're similar. I'm very short. I'm 5'3.5", but I have been this size since I was 10 years old. So I was very tall, and I was, you know, on the netball team and stuff because I was tall, and then everyone else kept growing.
Yeah.
And I just stayed the same height.
That was me.
When you were growing up, what were the big trends that everyone was wearing in school?
Graphic t-shirts from like very popular brands, skinny jeans, which I did hold off on that for as long as I could because I loved my bootcut jeans, and Jordan and really high-end sneaker brands and things like that, luxury, like semi-luxury purses like Coach and things like that. And I indulged for as long as I could pretend to care. And then the trends went by me and I just kept wearing the clothes that I had because like I did buy what I liked. Like I still have some of those clothes in the basement. I used to be afraid of looking weird in public, embarrassing my husband in public. Because like he's a very modern dressing person, so sometimes I wonder like is it weird for him to go out with me dressed like this? Obviously it's been a couple years now, so he's over it, but he never really cared. But I cared for him because I don't really like attention, even though I like dressing this way. So if I could exist this way and no one really noticed, I would be happy with that. So I just like the way it looks and I feel comfortable. So I don't feel like I'm rebelling, but I do understand that I'm not dressing like everyone else.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. Because you would, I think, look at your aesthetic and think, oh, this person must be an extrovert. But the fact that you're not, and you, it's just fascinating that you're like, oh, if I could dress like this and no, and be invisible, that's the dream scenario.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this really iconic and original look that you have, that's so obviously inspired by, I didn't realize when I first started following you that it was different eras as well. I thought it was all quite sort of 50s, but then I've seen you play with all the different sort of periods so beautifully and flawlessly. When did that sort of experimentation start showing up?
Probably when I joined Instagram, because in my head, I felt like if you pick an aesthetic, no matter what it is, you kind of have to stick with it. I didn't know that you could sort of like other time periods, but also I didn't know much about other time periods anyway. So it was just like, I knew I loved the 50s. And I had grown out of my 70s bell bottom like style, like I'd grown out of that. So when I saw other creators doing it, like there's no rules to this and I can do whatever I want. And as my sewing, like I got stronger at sewing and my capabilities, mm-hmm. I felt like I was capable of branching out beyond what I was comfortable with. So I just started playing with it and seeing what I would like. And I encourage other people who want to dress vintage to try out all of the decades before deciding what's your favorite. If you can even do that, I can't. And so I choose my look. Like if I want to wear a 1940s day, like to me, 40s is the way I like to dress. 40s is very like work practical and work wear.
So that's really interesting that your choice of aesthetic, it still doesn't compromise the fact that you are busy and you have two young kids. It still has to work around that. You're not a museum exhibit. It's like living, breathing fashion.
Yeah, I don't have a nanny, so yeah. I think sometimes when you dress a certain kind of way based off a certain time period, you have to think about what class of person you'd be dressing after. And I am certainly not the class of person who has a nanny right now. Or probably ever, because I don't want to miss a moment of their lives. So I definitely have to choose practicality. And sometimes if I do have to choose style icons, I try and look for true vintage photos of normal people, not stars. So what are they wearing in this photo? Is this a special occasion? Are they wearing a fluffy dress, but just not with the slip because they have things to do today? And so that's how I base. Because movie stars, or if you're watching a movie or show, it's not realistic. So they're, of course, they're going to be wearing the full thing from head to toe. But like ordinary people probably won't be doing that except for on Sunday for church, you know. Some days I'll wear the big poofy dress without all the fluff underneath because I feel like that's how a normal person might be dressed that day. I definitely have to tailor the way I dress to my actual lifestyle. And I think people did that back then too.
Of course, we look so often when we're looking at a period, we look at the red carpets from that age. And if you looked at the red carpets now, it's not particularly reflective of how people live and experience fashion. So yeah, so looking at those, you know, sometimes you'll go to like, well, we have car boots here, but like a thrift shop or whatever, and there'll be loads of black and white pictures and, you know, seeing how people dressed and how they wore their clothes and fashion was practical is much more realistic than, you know, a stock image of someone on a red carpet. That's so clever.
Yeah. And then sometimes you also have to think of the time. They didn't have pictures, like cameras readily available like we do. So even ordinary people will only be photographed on a special occasion. So they still might be more dressed up than they usually would if you really think about it, because they didn't have camera phones everywhere. I think you have to use discernment.
Yeah. Do you think of hair and makeup as part of the outfit?
Yeah, I do. I definitely feel like hair has to be an accessory for me because I'm not the best at it. So if I can think of it, like, what would I do if I was creating a hat? Like, I have to build structure that way because it's just not my thing. And for me, makeup, I don't wear period correct makeup and I don't even try. I do what I think looks best on me. And then I wear that how I want to. So I don't focus on period correct when it comes to makeup. I do what suits me because makeup really wasn't created for dark skin back then. Mm. And so I'm not really interested on trying to like stress myself out in a way that my ancestors probably did.
Of course.
I'm just not going to do that. I wear what makes me happy.
Who are your style icons?
I feel like sometimes having a style icon puts you in a space of unrealistic expectations because someone can be really stylish, but still you can't imitate their look. So I kind of just wear what I want. And when it comes to styling, I use sometimes vintage magazines, but mostly pattern art as a way to like style things that in a true vintage way. But I try not to have a style icon because it makes things kind of unattainable for me. Like if something looks a certain kind of way on them, it may not look that way on me, and then I might be disappointed. So I try to stay away from that.
That's interesting. So you must have a really good awareness off the bat of what suits you then.
Yeah. But I've been working on it for a long time. So I try everything and then I just tweak some things I don't like so much on me, so I don't make it as much. Mm-hmm. But it's a battle, but that's why I jump all over in my decades because I'm constantly trying to see what works on me and what I like the most. I have an issue with making separates that I am trying to overcome right now. So dresses have been my default, but I have so many blouse patterns that people have gifted me that I don't use. And I have so many short cuts of fabric, like 2-yard cuts of fabric. So I'm just like, these need to be blouses. So I've been challenging myself to make at least like 2 blouses a week till I get through all of those like small cuts of fabric.
Oh, this is so like inventive with where you find stuff.
I like to look cute all the time. it's a mood booster, you know? So it's just like, I don't know. I came out of like a really bad postpartum depression and my default was to just wear very not so happy clothes. So I try and combat that the best I can. And when I'm dressed up, I feel happiest. So I try and switch my clothes out.
Yeah. And well, thank you for being so open about it as well. So do you think you got more colourful and more floral and, you know, in a reaction to that? Was it, and which came first? Did you dress like that to lift your mood? Or did you find that when you dress like that, your mood lifted?
I always dress floral and bright no matter what my style aesthetic was, but I didn't realize that it had an effect on my mood prior. So I thought it was okay for me to like wear dull sweats or whatever. I was breastfeeding, so my clothes were constantly in the laundry, I didn't think it mattered until I was in the depths of depression and I was grasping at straws. I needed to get out of it. Like my kids deserve a better mom. And like, so I was just like, I'm just going to try something. And I felt happier. And before I felt like certain outfits were, there was a time and a place, right? But I needed to get out of this depression. So I was just like, look, there is no time and there is no place. I'm going to wear what I need to make me feel good. And there's no special occasion for that. So and then I just started wearing it full time. I wasn't always dressy when I dressed modern. I would come home and wear sweats just like everybody else. But once I overcame that, I was just like, these types of clothes don't really make me happy. So I'm just not going to anymore. Plus, I wore sweats for a year straight. Like, I just didn't care. I was just like, I bought every color of every style, like spaghetti strap shirt and like yoga pants, and I wore it every single day, and I didn't even have to think about what I was going to wear tomorrow. I just put it on.
So do you think dressing the way that you do and planning those outfits and making those outfits and taking that care, do you think that is an act of self-care for you then?
It is. I love sewing. Like, I love sewing probably more than I know I love sewing more than I care about like photographing my outfits and stuff like that. My friends actually encouraged me to create my Instagram because they were just like, you have all of this content, you just don't make content. Because like, I probably sewed more before I had Instagram than I do now because I was just like always making something. I love to create. It makes me happy. It always has. But I don't know. I just love sewing. I love creating clothes. I like bringing my ideas to life. That's really fun for me. So being able to have that be part of what took me out of my funk, it was worth it. And I've learned so much doing it too.
And you're saying that you make clothes for your kids, and when you make those, are you going, oh, I think you would look cute in that? Or are you working with them, going like, well, what would you like?
Now that my 4-year-old, she's kind of interested. So I do let her choose her fabric if she cares enough. And more recently, she did help me buy her patterns. So that's been really fun. Prior to that, I kind of just like base their outfits off of what I think their personalities are like. So I made her this cute little popsicle outfit, and she's in love with it because she likes rainbow colors. So everything's multicolored right now. And so she'll re wear rainbow all year round if I let her, which I do. And so she's involved, but I have a 1-year-old so who obviously doesn't care right now. So I dress him mostly for comfort. What I feel like is more movable and things like that.
Is there a trend or even era that you've tried to pull off, but it's just not happening for you?
I know the 20s. I've not tried it because I just know it won't work.
Oh, really?
I have the figure that is perfect for them, but I don't like the idea of my clothes just like hanging off of me like that, you know? So I like the hair and makeup of the time, but I'm not fond of the clothes.
Fair, absolutely fair. What's your oldest item of clothing then?
Maybe my slips, because I do make everything myself. My oldest pattern is probably from the 30s, like the early 30s. But since I just make my clothes, the oldest thing I probably have is just the slips.
Yeah. Amazing that you've got this pattern from the 30s, because that's, I mean, it's getting on for 100 years old, isn't it? Do you ever feel like a custodian of that
Oh my,
stuff?
yeah, I'm starting to feel like I'm like this historian or curator or something like that. I have so many patterns. I try not to buy them anymore, but a lot of people do send them to me if they find patterns from their grandparents and they don't sew, or they feel like they're not getting any use, then they'll send them to me. So I have quite a library of patterns. I probably have like 500 patterns now.
Oh my gosh,
And
love that.
and so I just stopped buying them. And yeah, I collect patterns and sewing machines. So my oldest sewing machine is 100 years old
Wow.
and it runs.
Do you use it?
Yeah, I intend to. I'm saving it for a specific, I guess I could use it now, but I always, when I introduce a sewing machine to my followers on Instagram, I try and like pair it with a period correct pattern. And so until I get to, I think I need like an 1800s or no, a 1910s pattern. Until I find that, I haven't worked it into my regular use, but I rotate my sewing machines because they last the longest when they're actually being used.
Oh my gosh, this is mind-blowing for me. This is so interesting. Because you're like a really accessible historian as well. This is great. What a lesson I'm getting. So if you had to pick one era just for the fashion, what would it be?
I would probably do either the 1949 or like 1950s because 1949, there's still enough 1940s and they're just now making the skirts bigger for the 50s. So I'd be able to do both at the same time because I hate to choose.
Really smart. So you get the 40s, but you also get that Dior new look, big, huge sort of skirts. Very clever. That's so clever. I've never had anyone who specified the year so they could basically get 2 decades in.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Item of clothing will you put on and you instantly feel fantastic in?
Anything like a full skirt dress from the 50s, because I think those are just really pretty all on their own. Sometimes I feel like you do have to like dress up a 1940s dress a little to because they are so basic in workwear. Like, you know, the women go, like men are at war, women staying home, like they're very practical. So sometimes I do feel like you have to do a little bit more to dress them up. And I think 1950s, you can really just throw that on and you're ready to look glam.
Yeah. I normally ask people what their relationship is like with shopping, but you make so much stuff. I don't imagine you shop an awful lot.
No, I do a lot of online because I know what I'm looking for is going to be really hard to find in the store. And so I don't want to waste my time. I guess I'm mostly shopping for supplies and stuff, which I feel like I'm very thrifty in general. I keep like this little journal with vintage. The supply list is a little bit hard to find. So I try and make substitutes, like modern substitutes. So when I go out searching for things, I might buy things that I have to make note of, like this replaces this. So that way I don't have to buy true vintage supplies because those aren't going to be the easiest to find. Mm. And I might need a lot of it. So I try and keep notes of my adaptations to make shopping a little bit easier. I make what I like, so it doesn't always have to be true vintage stuff. Like on this is a modern fabric and these are modern wooden buttons. Like I don't go out of my way trying to find true vintage buttons and things like that.
If you are making for yourself and then you have, you know, bits of material that you've got planned for blouses and things, it does feel like quite a sustainable sort of eco way to do things, because it's not the fast fashion where there's thousands of it pumped out. And I imagine where you can, or if you come across it, you'd be going for dead stock material as well.
Yeah, if I could, if I lived in an area where there was a lot of it, like we recently moved to this state, and so there's a lot of vintage furniture and stuff like that. And it made decorating my house a lot easier than in my old state where there was hardly anything and I had to buy a lot of new things and just kind of make things work. So I think area has a lot to do with what you can and cannot do. But because I have two little kids, I barely have any scrap. Like my scrap amounts to the smallest pieces, because when I have leftover from my clothes, I make them clothes. And then if it's too small for that, then I make hats and accessories. So whenever I am like done with fabric, it truly cannot be used any further.
Wow. That's fantastic. So it's like the fashion equivalent of nose to tail dining, you know, when they use every part of the animal.
I try.
Well, is that an ecological, sustainable thing that you're, is that accident or design?
Probably a little bit of both. One, since I only buy what I like, I'm always looking at my fabric, like, how can I use this as much as possible? Because like, I really love this fabric. Accessories were big in these mid-century decades. So like if you see Sears catalogs, their dresses match their hats, their gloves, their whatever. And I find like it's easier to use scrap to do exactly that. And then you can make fabric covered buttons, and that also is a vintage take. So it's just part of the aesthetic, really, is to use all the other fabric to make the accessories, because that's what makes it look more realistic.
It's absolutely amazing.
But then this is also my hobby.
Yeah.
Like I'm a housewife, so it saves a lot of money being able to get the most out of what I purchase.
Yeah, which in itself is very sustainable. Mm-hmm. You're only getting what you need and then using everything. And yes, it might have started as a cost thing, but also it's really, really good for the planet by the sounds of it as well. Can I ask what the best thing you've ever thrifted or got from a charity shop or secondhand or yard sale?
Yesterday I found a dressing gown, and I've never found one in my size and that was affordable in public. So I was really excited about that. It has a little bit of staining on it, but I was really happy to get that. But most of the time I make my stuff, so I don't really find anything. I don't even waste my time trying to look now, because it's just like, I probably won't find it. And if I do, it's extremely expensive.
Yeah, of course. Well, I think if everyone had your absolutely phenomenal skills with the sewing machine. You'd never shop again secondhand or otherwise. You just make everything for yourself. Would you enjoy the act of fabric shopping them? Do you do that in person?
Oh, yeah. I love that. I'll do it whenever I can. I mostly do that until the pandemic hit. Then that's when I started doing online shopping. But I prefer to go in and touch and see the color saturation of my fabrics and, you know, choose the contrasting fabrics together at the same time. I love fabric shopping. And I think my toddler's starting to love it, too.
Start them young. I love it. We're thinking about the sort of future then, because I see your style as being, you got your style, it's timeless, it's you, but do you see it evolving, you know, just how it evolved from you and your platforms and your flares when you were younger? Do you see it evolving again and you maybe going to a different era, or do you think this is it, this is your look?
I think this is it. I think what I'm going to probably do is focus on like technique and trying like very more advanced and developed forms of sewing and things like that, because I always just want to get better. And a lot of my regular sewing is just me touching on my skills. That's why I sew so much, because I just, if I am struggling in one area, then I will sit there and I'll be like, okay, I need to make this a couple more times until I feel more comfortable. Like, I really want to get better at tailoring and stuff like that. So if I do evolve any, I will just get into gents sewing so I can make my husband a suit and like really challenge myself. I want to challenge myself and see how far I can go. So probably structure.
Yeah. So this challenging yourself with it, because a suit to me seems like the most advanced thing ever to make. Do you do that? Do you find it really edifying? You enjoy the process of cracking it, or is it only nice when you, do you enjoy the process of learning how to crack it as well? Or is it only just the joy of making it?
I like learning. I've made a couple suits, but I want to do more structured suits in terms of like physically creating the shape, like the Dior New Look shape. Like, I want to, like, that's a lot of structure and padding and stuff like that. So I want to be able to learn how to like to do that, you know? So I want to get in there and make a skirt that had no hips have hips and make the padding and do all of the things.
Is there an item of clothing, and again this can be a specific item or it can be a style, is there an item of clothing that you can always see yourself wearing?
Maybe a dress. For comfort reasons, I hardly wear pants anymore. That had to do with me having kids. My skin got really sensitive, so I prefer things not to touch my skin anymore. So probably a dress. I can see myself wearing a dress forever and ever.
When you're being really casual around the house, is that to you, is that still a dress?
Yeah. I it's definitely a choice. Okay, so like I made some house coats and things like that that look really nice. So that way I don't have to dress up, but like what I do choose to wear around the house is still very much a dress. And I also started like making my outfits match my home, because when seasons come, like the winter, most people don't wear really bright colors anymore. But if my house is very bright, with the exception of this, my bedroom, the other rooms are very pastel and mid-century modern. I always match my home when I'm wearing bright colors all year round.
I love that. That's so joyous. As someone then who does their own thing, but is also, you know, your stuff with fashion, and you obviously feed off it and enjoy it. Do you read things like Vogue, or do you watch what's going on at the moment, or are you just absolutely doing your own thing?
I don't like for things to influence what my decisions. And I know that sometimes, even if you have a strong sense of self, that like, you might subconsciously take in stuff that you know, and I don't want to ever, because I lost myself in high school and stuff, right? Was I really doing it because I liked it, or was I doing it because that's just what I was consuming a lot of? So I just don't. I stay in my lane and do what feels right to me.
Amazing. Well, vicariously then, when you bump into people in the supermarket, are there any trends that you're hoping never come back, that you never have to see passing you?
No. I think part of dressing different and being happy about it is hoping that other people can do the same, even if it doesn't match my aesthetic. So I truly don't care. When people are just like, you must hate seeing people wear pajamas in public, I'm like, I don't care if that's what makes them happy. You know, I came from a place of not being happy based off of what I was wearing. So I don't want to go back there, and I wouldn't want to force anybody there either.
What a beautiful, beautiful sentiment. That's so lovely. final question. It sounds like it might be a sad one, but it's meant to be a joyous one. Is what outfit would you like to be buried in?
Oh, I think about that. I probably would want it to be a suit. I haven't made that suit yet, but I know once I get to that point, like, I'm sure I'm going to make a suit that's just going to take the cake. And that will be the dress. Like, that's when I, like, whatever weight I'm at, I'm going to have to stay there, whether it's bigger or smaller. I need to stay there because, or they're going to have to take out enough organs for me to wear that suit or put more fluff in there. You're going to have to stuff me so I can wear that suit. But whatever that hard work boils down to is what I need to be wearing.
I can't wait to see this suit one day. Well, that's very, because 40 suits as well are beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
Like, absolutely beautiful. Is that in your head? Is that the suit?
I don't know. I don't know yet. Because I like so much and I've collected so much and I don't know if I've made it yet. I don't even know if I have the fabric yet. I mean, the pattern yet. I don't know if I'll be able to just draft it from scratch. I just know that when I know that that'll be the outfit.
Oh my gosh.
Because it'll be the perfect fabric too. Like, I won't spare any expense on the fabric and the material. So
I'm getting chills when you're talking about it. That'd you're talking about an imaginary suit and I've got goosebumps on my arm. It's been so amazing to chat to you because I have just been a longtime admirer of what you do and how phenomenal you look and just seems completely on your own terms. And I love obviously how creative and technically brilliant you are as a sewer. And so I'm really thankful that amongst being a busy mum as well that you've sat down and had a chat with me. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to open with a quote. Part of dressing different and being happy with it is hoping other people do the same. What a beautiful thing to say. Oh, Serena is just such a dream, isn't she? I think it's so interesting that her really floral, bright, joyous style came from a postpartum depression that just made her feel awful and anything but bright and joyous. You know why? It's because there's so much chat about dopamine dressing, aren't there? You know, allowing colours to lift your mood. But to hear someone talk about it having such a demonstrable lift and being an act of self-care, I just thought it was amazing. By the way, I'm obviously not suggesting you swap therapy for, you know, a block colour outfit, but I do think finding colour in your wardrobe can bring people joy. And maybe you listening to this now is the kick that you needed to dress more joyfully. Or not. That's fine as well. I don't think we've ever spoken to anyone who makes their clothes as frequently as Serena. Her passion for the technical side of fashion is really special, really unusual. And you know what? In each episode, I try and find an indie business that I'd love to shout about that relates to the guest that I'm speaking with. And I think this is a perfect fit. This week, I'm going to talk about Manchester-based brand The Fruit Moth. Now, The Fruit Moth is the creation of Nicole, and it's been around since November 2020. I can't believe it's only been that short a time because it's so well-established and loved, and so many people I know I've mentioned it to are big fans already. Now, Nicole designs and makes basically clothing with a conscience and accessories as well, because we love our accessory with some social conscience. So as well as reworking and upcycling existing secondhand clothes, it's so fascinating. She has these great videos on Instagram where she goes on like a charity shop haul and then shows you what she turns stuff into. Oh, she's so brilliant. What a great brain. So The Fruit Moth also makes really beautiful clothes and accessories using vintage and remnant materials. All the offcuts are used for smaller items, you know, other accessories, or they're donated to a local primary school for crafts. How pure is that? It's just gorgeous. Now, items can be made to order and commissioned, ensuring that The Fruit Moth is size inclusive, as well as that being a really good way of not having more clothes being made for no reason and put into the world. That is a sustainable way to do it. All the packaging used is recyclable, and also Nicole is part of a carbon offsetting scheme too. So she basically works out what her carbon is every month and then pays it off. It's incredible. As if that wasn't enough, 5% of the money from every single sale at The Fruit Moth goes to the brilliant Mustard Tree charity. I used to work right by the Mustard Tree and have done stuff with them before. They're absolutely brilliant charity in Manchester that helps the homeless in the city. Oh, and Nicole has recently started working with Smartworks, which is a UK charity that has been created to help give women more confidence so they can help reach their potential, maybe get a job, change the trajectory of how their lives are going. So what she does is she donates her incredible reworked blouses and then the women can wear them to job interviews and the like. Because do you know what? Serena's episode is perfect for this. It is easier to be show up and be our best selves when we feel like we are dressed like it as well. So an incredible charity that I hadn't heard of Smartworks before, but I'm so glad that the Fruit Moth has introduced me to them, as well as the Joys as a massive, gorgeous, detachable pussy bow collar, which is something I am eyeing up. It's on my Christmas list. I am back next week with an absolutely enlightening episode with the brilliant Laura Jane Clark. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at WhoYouWearingPod. And you can also message us on there, or you can email WhoYouWearingPod@gmail.com. Can't wait to see you next week. Bye. Who Are You Wearing is produced by Joe Southard. The artwork is by Mary Phillips, and the music is by Annie Glass. This has been a Little Wonder production.